this is the Fun Kids Bookworms podcast, where you get to find out about the best books from the people who write them. I'm Bex, and this week you're going to hear something pretty special. It is what happened at our Bookworms live event at the Underbelly a couple of weeks ago. You can check out what happened when I spoke to Jenny McLaughlin and Jim Beckett. We've also got a little catch-up of some of the best books around at the moment, so you're in for an absolute treat. And I think to kick it off, we should go back to that time I spoke to Jenny McLaughlin in front of a live audience at the Underbelly to find out about her brand new book. So everybody, put your hands together. Get ready. Clap, 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 clap. Woo, cheer, cheer for Jenny McLaughlin. Yay! Ooh. Hey, Jenny, how are you doing?
I'm doing really well. How did it see you all? It's so nice to see you all.
Now, Jenny, you have just released, or you're about to release the third book.
It's out there.
Is it out there in the world?
It's out there, yeah.
In the raw series. How does it feel to have this whole series just out?
Great. Really nice. No, very, very exciting. Bit sad.
Yeah.
A little bit sad, yeah. But the doors left slightly open just in case.
In case you fancy going back into raw.
Just in case, yeah.
So the third book is The Battle for Raw.
Yeah.
So if our lovely audience haven't met your characters before, what have they been through to get to your book?
Well, it begins when two children, very like you, Arthur and Rose, run up the stairs of their granddad's house. Their granddad says to them he's got a surprise in the attic. And they go up there, but they just see a very messy attic. So he comes up and he says, well, the surprise is your attic. And their granddad's done lots of strange things, but he's never given them his attic before. But then he explains if they tidy up the attic, he'll turn it into a den for them. And as they're tidying up, they find an old folding camp bed. And scratched on the top of the words, enter here for the land of Raw. And Arthur remembers that he used to play a game in this attic with Rose. And the land of Raw was an incredible place with ninja wizards and dragons and merwitches. And he says that to Rose. He says, do you remember Raw? And she goes, she doesn't like playing quite as much as Arthur. She's grown up a bit faster than she is. It's just a game, wasn't it? And then one day, Grandad decides to climb inside the camp. But we like doing mean things to grandparents.
You really do,
don't we?
Yeah, it's pretty great. Yeah.
And Arthur and Rose have to decide whether Grandad disappears. And then Arthur and Rose have to decide what to do next. Would you rescue your granddad, be crawled inside a camp and disappeared? Or just leave him to his fate? Serves him right,
doesn't it? Pretty muted response there from the audience.
A few shrugs.
Wow. Clearly not fans of grandparents in here. So in the third book, you've got your characters who, they're kind of going to go and explore the whole of the world. They want to go to the end of it. They want to figure out
It's a cruise. I did write it, obviously, during the last 2 years, so I really enjoyed this. It's a cruise through Raw. When I write my books, I want the best things that could possibly happen to children to happen, so you can imagine the most amazing things happening when you read them. So Arthur and Rose, they have two pirate ships, actually, I think, in Raw, and they decide to take one of these pirate ships with their friends to go to the furthest point they've ever been in Raw. And what could go wrong? A group of children and magical characters on a pirate ship in uncharted seas.
Yeah, they're close. Nothing happens good, done.
And a missing villain, of course.
Because, of course, loads of stuff does happen in this book, and you've got an amazing villain in Croaky.
Yes.
Tell our lovely audience a bit about him.
Okay, well, everything in Raw has been invented by Rose and Arthur through the games they play, and I imagine your games are quite similar to theirs in that strange things have happened. A lot of you've got brothers and sisters in here, and I don't know if you enjoy scaring them a little bit. So my brother and I used to really like scaring my little sister, which was a bit mean, and one of the things that I told him was that scarecrows were alive.
Quite mean.
Wurzel Gummidge had quite an impact on me.
Okay.
Everyone else, I used to find him terrifying. So as a joke, Rose invented a terrifying villain in the Land of Raw called Croaky, who's half... The two things that Arthur's most scared of in the world are scarecrows, because he had a bad experience in a maze once, mm-hmm. and crows, because once... Rose scattered some crumbs in his hair and a crow got stuck in there. So he's scared of crows and scarecrows, and she amalgamated them into Croaky, and then he came to life. And what Rose didn't realise was that he'd be out to get her too.
He is a
mistake.
A particularly terrifying villain, I have to say. The scarecrow thing is quite creepy.
Yeah, he is creepy, isn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, he was even creepier when Ben drew the first pictures and he had teeth. And we had to take Croaky's teeth. Oh. But Arthur, this is the book. Arthur and Rose are the masters of roar, and they will always win.
I don't like how happy you were when you said how creepy your villain was. Genuinely,
I like being a bit scared.
You
I like a little bit being scared.
Very
yeah.
happy about that. Are you? You're sad to see the goodbye to the characters. It must be a bit weird. Is it like saying goodbye to friends?
Yes, when I write, and I'm sure it's the same for the other authors, I see it all so vividly in my head that the things that happen and the characters don't actually feel that different to the real things in real life. I know really the difference, but I could imagine Arthur or Rose or Croaky walking in here now, and when I remember what I had for breakfast, and then when I remember flying a dragon, it feels the same. So it does feel a bit sad to say goodbye to them. They feel like real people. They feel like friends. Even Croaky, he feels like a good friend.
I like the idea that you remember flying a dragon.
Yeah, that's great.
What, has anybody else flown a dragon before? No?
Then
no?
Read my books.
Just you?
You have. You've got one dragon ride down
wow.
here.
Just the one. All right. Yeah. So what would you do if you could go to Roar for the day?
I've thought about this quite a lot, actually.
Okay, go for
okay,
it.
Okay, so I'd first of all meet Wininja, the wizard ninja, and then we would go by... They do ride bikes quite a lot in Roar, because I like riding bikes, but dragons faster. So we'd fly by dragon to Mitch's island, and she's got a lagoon with merfolk in it. Have a quick swim in the lagoon, go to the Tangled Forest, visit the Lost Girls and their tree houses, and go on the swings and things like that. Then, because I like being scared,
yep.
still on a dragon, over to the Crow's Nest to visit Croaky. And I can't give too much away from book three, but there's a game we'd play.
I was going to say, it's tricky with this book because it's the resolution of of the series. There's a few things I want to mention, but I know I can't, just because it's... I don't want to ruin your work, basically. It seems a shame.
I quite want to know what they are, though.
We'll talk about it later. So did you say that you might write more if the mood takes you, or do you have a project on the go?
I do have people from my publishers here. And there is no talk of this whatsoever, I should say, but I'd quite like to. I've written the start of the first book in a new trilogy, and I'm working on another really exciting project as well. And so I've got loads. I don't have enough hours in the day to write the books in my head. That's my problem.
Well, that's a good problem to have, though,
isn't it? This is the right way around.
And you sure you don't want to give us like a little... I know the publisher's there, but I mean...
What I would do, what with the books coming or...
Just the people, it would just...
Okay, well, so the new book, my new trilogy that's coming out, involves a ghost pirate and a little girl who's very anxious. So both my daughters have had times when they've had a bit of worrying and anxiety. So I wanted to write about this because I think it's a very common thing to have anxiety.
Yeah.
And I thought it's sometimes interesting to make the worst things possible happen to somebody who feels that and then see how they'd cope, which is very well. So a little girl who gets very, very anxious does something she shouldn't do, which is release a pirate ghost from the dead.
I've got to say, I would imagine that's a bad thing to do.
She's a bit worried.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, it's not just that. There's a whole pub full of ghosts. So she opens a portal. Yeah. Oh, I said too much. Well, it's too late now.
No,
you said it.
Just the right amount. We're not going to be looking up that book as well. Now, starting a new project is tricky. I'm sure a lot of people here would like to write or be authors. I know when I was little, I really did, but I had no idea where to start. So what do you do when you're first starting a project? What's your advice?
It's the best. I did on the train on the way here. So the way I start a book is, and I'm sure you can all do this, and you can do it anywhere, it's daydreaming. So I think I began my journey to becoming a writer at school in assemblies when I used to tune out. Because you can daydream anywhere and no one knows what you're doing, so you just need to imagine. So, you know, you can do it now. So if you all imagine, you can shut your eyes if it helps.
I'll do it too.
You do it too?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll find out what yours is in a second. Okay. Imagine a castle, okay? Everybody imagine a castle and decide what it's made of. Is it your traditional castle? Is it made of glass? Is it see-through? Is it clouds? Is it marshmallows? Where is your castle? Is it in Wales? Is it in space? Is it underground? Is it dark? Is it cold? Is it hot? So imagine your castle, and you could probably, your minds are ticking away and whirring, and your castles can get bigger and bigger. Add rooms. How do you get around in your castle? Do you go on a flying carpet or a flying unicorn? Do you walk, quite traditionally? Do you slide? Now, I need you to put a character in the castle. So it could be you, or it could be you with something extra. So maybe you're invisible, or maybe you've got a superpower. Maybe you can fly. Maybe you're tiny weeny. Maybe you're a mouse. Then add something to the castle. It could be could be a villain or it could be a friend. So depending on your mind, but maybe you want to add a villain. If you want to add a villain, then you could put them somewhere in the castle. If you want to make a best friend for yourself, what are they going to be like? I love joining two things together. So I've got mermaid witches, ninja wizards. So maybe take two things you love to make your best friend and off you go. You've got a story. You're going somewhere, haven't you?
That's amazing. That's straight away. Like, I mean...
What did you have?
Okay, in my head...
Pitch it to me.
I'm worried that this will reveal a lot about me. Okay, I had a castle made out of dairy milk.
Mm.
Yeah. It was underwater. But it was chocolate that it wouldn't melt or anything.
Yeah. Well, it wouldn't underwater. I think that would be quite...
Yeah,
it'd work.
See, I thought this through, obviously.
It has to work. And even if it's a logic...
Yeah.
A crazy logic, it has to work.
Crazy logic. And I would get around on the back of a lion.
Ooh,
that'd be my plan.
Nice.
And there'd also be some escalators in there as well, because I am quite lazy.
Yeah.
We'll have some escalators. And I quite like the idea of extra rooms, maybe like a cinema or a bowling alley as well.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't have a villain, but I would have a goldfish that could talk.
Ooh.
Is that right?
Yeah, it sounds great. It sounds like a Studio Ghibli cartoon, so I think you should. It's got legs, you should definitely work on it. I'm a bit worried about the lion on the escalator because of its mane.
No, we train him up, it's fine.
You could do its hair, couldn't you?
He'd love it, he'd sing along to Hakuna Matata, he'd have a lovely time, it's all fine. Well, I've written practically my next book. Jenny, thank you so much for talking to us, and
thank
I hope everybody
having
here
me.
Had an amazing time
thank
imagining
listening.
Some amazing stuff. And yeah, thank you for joining us, Jenny.
Thank you very much. Brilliant.
Oh, Jenny was absolutely amazing, and it was such a brilliant event. Thank you so much. If you were one of the people in the audience who came down to say hello, I had a great time, and hopefully you did as well. I should also say, there are loads of books coming out at the moment. Matty Long, who is a friend of the show, we've spoken to him before, has got a new book out. The Super Happy Magic Forest and the Deep Trouble book is out. The Five Heroes of the SHMF, to shorten it, go diving for candy coral in Lake Sparkle and get more than they bargain for in the city of Fish. If you're a fan of the Super Happy Magic Forest series, go and check it out. Also, Paula Harrison and Jenny Lovely have got a book called Kitty and the Starlight Song. In it, Kitty is preparing for her school's concert as a superhero in training with cat-like powers. What can she do that will make herself pop in front of the audience? And also, can she overcome stage fright? Even superheroes get it. Who knew? And finally, at Shadowtown from Richard Lambert. In Shadowtown, Toby leads a quiet life in London until a mysterious shadow appears, taking him into another world. In a dangerous land with a cruel regent king, where dreamers have the magical power to turn dreams into a reality, Toby meets a strange girl who's lost her memory and works to try and find her identity to get himself back home. Three brilliant, very different books for you. Go and check them out. And thank you so much to Matty Long, Paula Harrison, Jenny Lovely, and Richard Lambert for writing such absolute classics. Now, before I let you go, of course, we've got to check out what happened when I spoke to Jim Beckett at our big Bookworms Live Bonanza. Now, I'd never met Jim before, which meant I could also, as well as interview him, let him take part in my very special, patented Bex author quiz.
Fantastic, Jim Beckett!
Hello, everyone. Hello. Thank you.
How you doing, Jim?
Very well, thank you, Bex. Lovely to meet you. Nice to be here. Got a freshly polished microphone.
Yeah.
That's all you want, isn't it?
No expense spared here at Fun Kids.
It's still slightly moist.
That's how it was clean.
Yes.
Yeah,
oh, yeah, clean.
Yeah.
I mean, moist can be clean.
We've worked hard on this. Now, tell us, you have got the caravan up. It is the Caravan at the Edge of Doom. I was going to say the Caravan of Doom, but the Caravan at the Edge of Doom book.
Yes, yes.
Which I have read and thoroughly enjoyed, but can you tell our lovely audience about it?
Well, this is the Caravan at the Edge of Doom. It's about 12-year-old Harley, here, pictured on the front, who one day has to pass through the portal of doom in her grandparents' caravan toilet in order to rescue her little brother, Malcolm, who's accidentally gone through to the land of the dead in their Nana's wheelie bag.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it, yeah.
That's the premise. Lots more happens. I mean, that's just the first few pages.
It is such... It's just a big, exciting adventure, isn't it? Harley goes on this kind of big journey to find out more about herself. What was it like writing the book? It must have been fun to imagine all of that crazy stuff.
Oh, it's brilliant. Yeah, I love it. I really... It's my favourite thing to do, absolutely. Yeah, making things up, imagining the crazy... directions a story can go, coming up with characters and situations. Yeah, brilliant. I love it. It's what I want to do all the time. But then you have to do other things like, you know, brush your teeth,
yeah,
get up and all that stuff.
That's
true. I don't like getting up, which suggests, maybe sleeping as well. Like, sleeping's even better than writing a book, now I think about it.
Don't tell your publishers you said this.
No, they won't know. It's all
right. Okay, it's fine. We'll keep it quiet. No, but it's fine. Well, this is between us, right, guys?
Yes.
Okay, good. So why a caravan? Because have you been on many caravanning holidays? Because I did as a kid.
Yeah, well, as a kid, yeah, we always went away. My mum and dad had a motor caravan, so much the same sort of thing. We did. We'd go off, and initially it was very small, like the one in the book here. And so it's very cosy, isn't it? Very cosy, very cramped. I think as a child, often cramped can feel cosy and fun and so on. Maybe as an adult, it's less appealing. The caravan in this book doesn't go anywhere. You know, it's on the moor, but it's sort of grown. Nature's grown up all around it, and it's stationary. And it hasn't moved for in living memory, really. It's just been stuck there. So my friend pointed out that actually his mum had a caravan like that in her front garden, and it may be that the idea had subconsciously come to me from that caravan. So I've given her credit for that. So it's her caravan. It's about Dot's caravan. This story. Well, I had no idea about that when I was writing it.
Have you given her some commission as well?
I've just mentioned her on the radio.
Oh, right. Well, that's fair enough. Yeah, that's
fair
enough.
Well, she'll be thrilled.
She'll be happy with that.
Yeah.
Now, tell me, what was your favourite bit to write about in the book? Because it is, like I say, it's a bit of an epic hero's quest. Was there a particular part of it that you loved writing?
I think once they get going, when the really gnarly bit of villain comes on, I enjoyed that scene. I think that was complete in its form fairly early on. No spoilers, because that's quite a long way through the book. But I think that, it's hard to pinpoint that. We were talking about this earlier with the other authors over lunch. I was saying, I like endings. I like writing the ending. I find the ending very satisfying, but not necessarily at the end. I don't necessarily write the ending at the end. It ends up at the end.
Sure.
Otherwise, it doesn't count.
Otherwise, that would be the middle.
Definitely. Wouldn't
that'd
be
weird.
An ending. Yeah. But I mean, you do get books like that, don't you? So I really like the ending, that sense of resolution, tying things up, a happy ending.
Okay.
A happy ending, but with feelings, other
That's
feelings.
That's the dream. And I feel like, though, this book isn't the end, because am I right in thinking you've got a whole series planned out?
There is a second book written and ready to go. It's out in January, folks, so look out for that one. The Caravan at the Edge of Doom, Foul Prophecy. Yes, so we contrive a reason for Holly once again to have to go through the Portal of Doom in her grandmother's caravan door there. But who knows what she gets up to next time around? You'll have to read it and find out. Yes, and then there's going to be another one, third one on the way.
Wow.
In my head. It's amazing. Once you have a group of characters, I think, and a general premise, it is the stories do flow from there to some extent.
And you've got lovely Harley, who's just such a good character to read about.
Good. I'm glad you liked her. I like her, yeah.
She's really fun.
Good.
Now, the thing is, Jim, I've realised, we've never had you on Fun Kids before. So you've never done my quickfire round of questions.
No, I haven't.
Would everybody here like to hear Jim's answers to my quickfire round of questions?
Yes!
All right.
Good.
No pressure, Jim. I mean, you've got a sneaky peek already of what they are. Okay, and the main one, we all know which one I'll judge you on, is the last question. So first up, easy enough, books or Kindles?
Oh, I read both, to be honest.
Oh.
No, books. Books!
My goodness, I give you literally one thing to do.
No, I know. I was playing up to that.
Okay, that's fine.
Obviously, it's Kindle. Books.
Okay, right. Heroes or villains?
Heroes.
Heroes? Okay, just out of interest. Anybody else? Heroes or villains? Shout out to three. 1, 2, 3.
Heroes!
Yeah, see, the popular choice. Both
wow,
popular
lot,
choice.
Lot of, I felt a lot of villains in this area. Villain vibe going on there. Caravan or tent?
Tent.
What?
Yeah, I love a tent.
I thought I was giving you an option to be on brand here and say caravan.
Caravan. Damn it.
Yeah.
I've got about three wrong out of three so
it's
far.
All right, we'll do that one again. Hang on. Yes. Do that again. Caravan or tent?
Tent. Caravan.
Oh, no.
Caravan. Caravan.
Caravan.
Yeah, or tent, you know.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Can't take you anywhere. All right, okay.
No, next one.
Film adaptation or TV adaptation? What would you prefer for this book?
TV adaptation.
Lovely little Netflix deal. All right.
Netflix deal. Really?
Sorry, I feel like I...
Excellent.
It sounded like
first
I could
offer
that, but I can't offer that to you right here. Sorry.
It really sounded like you did.
It did.
I'm sure this has been recorded. I look forward to seeing it.
If anybody's listening on the podcast, I did not just promise a Netflix deal. I'm
fine
that.
With a Netflix deal.
We'll get that sort of thing.
Okay.
Fun Kids has a lot of power. Writing or reading?
What a good question, writing.
I'm a bit offended it's taking you this long to tell me what a good question I've asked you.
Well, it's taking you this long to ask me a good question. I mean, no offence. No, kidding. Writing, yeah, I really love writing and I really like reading. And I have to say, if you try writing without reading, it won't turn out very well. So reading's very, very, very important. I have to do a lot of reading. But I really enjoy writing.
Okay, great answer. Hogwarts or Narnia?
Narnia.
That was quick. And that was controversial again to this side of the audience. Our villainous side here.
I just of a certain generation, you know.
Okay.
Yes, I remember being evacuated as a child. We've been reading Narnia recently. I've been reading Narnia with my children recently, so I think it's just on my mind, really. Yeah, reliving those moments.
Okay.
Hogwarts came out when I was a young adult, as in a YA, but as an actual adult. So I wasn't really that interested at that stage.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I got more into it recently. It's great, isn't it? It's great, but Narnia was the single word answer that I gave you, and I stick to it.
I like that you have to explain yourself there, though. You really went into it.
Is this the slowest quickfire I've ever done? Next one.
It's a very interesting interpretation of quickfire, I'll tell you that. But I like it, I'm learning more about you. Do you use a laptop or do you write by hand?
Laptop,
okay. Oh, you've done the one word. Okay, now you're into one word, okay. But feel free to elaborate. Do you write 9 to 5 or do you write when you fancy?
No. Well, third option, really, but 9 to 5, let's say.
Okay, that sounds like it's not 9 to 5 at all.
No, but it's not what I fancy either.
So you never write, or you're always right?
Hey? No, just... Like, when I get a chance.
Okay.
Is that when I fancy? Is that
that's when you fancy.
Well, it's not really, though, is it? Sorry. Yes, when
very,
I fancy.
Very
9
contrary
to 5.
With you. I've never had a problem with any other author with these questions.
I quite fancy 9 to 5.
Okay.
To be honest, that's the honest truth. But it's not practical because you have to take the kids to school, pick them up, and all that kind of thing. Hoover the dog, you know.
That dog needs hoovering. Paddington Bear or Winnie the Pooh?
Paddington Bear.
Yeah. Yay.
Or Winnie the Pooh.
Oh. Again, the audience, that was, I didn't think that was too controversial, but apparently it is. Paddington Bear, so you've gone, okay, Paddington. Charlie in the Chocolate Factory or Matilda?
Charlie in the Chocolate Factory.
Mm. Any particular favourite kid that goes into the Chocolate Factory?
Well, Augustus Gloop, I think it's a very powerful memory, of reading it the first time. I didn't witness it in real life.
Can you imagine if this was you telling me you were Augustus Gloop? That'd be quite exciting.
My elder brother, who's no longer with us.
Just love chocolate. And finally, the big one, salt and vinegar or cheese and onion?
Salt and vinegar.
Yay!
I was listening earlier.
Thank goodness you were. It was almost a test, to be honest.
Yeah.
Jim, because you got the answer right, I do actually have some salt and vinegar crisps for you off stage.
Wow,
I'll give you them later on. Yeah, I genuinely do.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Not like the Netflix deal.
Not like the Netflix deal, no.
Okay.
I can stretch to a bag of crisps, but not to a Netflix deal.
Oh,
that's
right,
where I land.
Okay.
Right, brilliant. Well, thank you, Jim, so much for chatting to us. We should say The Caravan at the Edge of Doom is out right now. Second one is in January. Everybody go and check it out. Everybody, can we give Jim a massive round of applause?
Thank you very much.
Amazing stuff. Thank you so much to Jenny McLaughlin and Jim Beckett. They were both fantastic guests to have at the Underbelly at Bookworms Live. And remember, if you've enjoyed this podcast, make sure you go like, subscribe, and follow wherever it is you're listening to it. And I'll see you soon. Bye.